We continue our Making Sausage Governor Candidate interviews now. I'm Heidi Holton with DFL commentator Colleen Nardone. Keith Downey was the former chairman of the state Republican Party from 2013 until April of 2017. From 2009 to 2013, he served two terms in the Minnesota House, representing District 41A. He recently announced his bid for Minnesota governor in 2018, and he joins us in the studios of KEXE. Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay, good. Thanks for being here
today.
Yeah,
great to be with you. Appreciate it.
Well, let's just start at the beginning. Tell us about your background and experience and why you, why now?
Right. Well, maybe the second part of that question first. I have been, I think, pretty clear as I've gotten out and started my campaign that I'm running for a very distinct reason, and that's to make Minnesota work for everyone again. I grew up here, felt like I had wonderful opportunities, a great life. And as I look around the state and as I've had the opportunity to travel the state these past 4 years, I really see things changing. And in some ways, a failure to thrive in Minnesota, whether you're a inner city family that just wants an opportunity for your child to get a good education and have their chance in life, whether you're up here, maybe up on the Iron Range, just looking for a good job on in the mines, on the range to keep your family here, whether you're a farmer, anywhere else, a small business person, people feel like government is coming at them, not from them. And they have a sense that Minnesota is not producing the opportunities that it once did. And this sense, I think, needs to be addressed and not swept under the rug. We're losing great people, capital and wealth and businesses and farms, and the vitality of our state is being drained. And I think you can look anywhere in the state and see this happening. Our quarterly gross domestic product actually shrank over the last two quarters. Our economy contracted over the last 6 months, and you see it in a lot of different places. So I think we have a great chance to capitalize on our native strengths. It's a wonderful state, but it's not living up to its great potential. So that's why I got in the race. Why me? I actually, before any of the things you mentioned, was in business for 23 years and only entered the legislature when I saw, from a consulting perspective, the project work that I was doing in state and local government, providing all this evidence that things are very broken and that we really needed to turn a corner in Minnesota. And so I jumped in. I actually ran against an 18-year incumbent Republican. No one up here may know that. To gain my first seat in the legislature, was very much a political reformer, brought a lot of business ideas about how we could make government work better, things that we could eliminate, things that we could consolidate, how to measure things better. So my entire time in the political arena has been as a business-oriented reformer. Even my time at the state party, I was brought in to do an outside job to really turn things around. Folks may remember how bad a shape the state Republican Party was in 5 years ago. And we've managed to turn that around. I cut our budget by half, and our debt is less than half of what it was. And we started winning elections again. So I think it's another piece of proof that with this kind of an approach and a real strong commitment to the people of Minnesota and a love for our state and a desire to make it better and make it work for everyone, that we can do the tough work to make that turnaround for the state as a whole. It's kind of a tough business. You run into a lot of opposition when you want to make real changes, but I'm up for it. I was doing that when I was in the legislature before I did it at the state party. It's kind of my life as a business person, so I'm hopeful that people will listen to that and say, you know, that's a really interesting perspective, and we do want somebody who can come in and actually get things done as governor and be a strong leader. So that's who I'm going to run as. It's who I am. It's what I believe. I think it's best for our state.
What kind of business were you in?
I was with a number of technology firms, three to be exact. And then the last 12 years of my career, I was with the management consulting firm. And most of the work I did the last 8 years myself was in the state and local government arena. I headed up our Minnesota practice, but my own personal project work was in state and local government.
Okay. Well, you've kind of, in a way, touched on the second question. We wanted to know about your issues. And, for example, some governors talk about they want to be the education governor or the health care governor. or that kind of those kinds of issues. Do you have one that's a pet project for you?
Well, I actually have three that I think if we really could turn the corner as a state, we would dramatically improve our outlook as a state and our position. And the first is to reposition Minnesota's economy so that we can create new and better jobs statewide. The second is we have a significant failure in our public education system, largely in the urban core, where literally thousands of children are not getting their opportunity in life because the school system is failing them. And we need to fix those failing schools and allow those kids an opportunity to get the education that they need to have their chance in life. And then lastly, we can do so much to reduce and reform what we are doing in state government. And so those three, I think, are the big three. I remember somebody asked me when I very first got into politics, they said, why are you running? And I said, well, you know, and I had to think about it because I wasn't a very polished, you know, political person. But I said, you know, if our economy were in better shape and the fundamentals of how Minnesota is positioned economically were in better shape, if our schools were all firing on every cylinder, and if we actually had a more nimble, cost-effective, less intrusive government, I wouldn't run. And so I look back, you know, 9 years ago or whenever I gave that answer, and I don't think we've made progress. In fact, I think the trend lines are in the wrong direction on all three of those. And I think we can make those changes. We really can. As I said, it's a tough business. It's hard work. You got to negotiate. You got to find a way to get things through in St. Paul, and that's not easy. And you're going to run into a ton of opposition if you really want to make some of those changes. But I think if you have the good of the people of the state of Minnesota in mind and you're willing to do those things, we could actually have some real success.
We've got some process questions here, too, in terms of working with the legislature. It's different to work with the legislature as governor than it was as one of them, I would assume. And you probably know that better than I do. There is a perception in Minnesota that things are growing increasingly chaotic at the end of the session, that there is a lack of transparency and inefficiency, and really people don't feel good about the way it ends. And I'm wondering if you have perceived that as well, if people are talking to you about that, and how, as governor, could you use your role to help?
Well, the title of your show is Sausage Making, yes, yeah. So I think everybody understands it is it's a rough and tumble process. There's so many people with so many different perspectives. I remember when school groups would come down and I'd sit them down in the chairs on the House floor, and I would point out all the different counties and all the different places that people come from and just talk about what kind of a process it is. And it's an amazing process. It's a great process, but it's also very difficult, and it's designed to be that way. And so I think I would say the primary answer to your question, as compared to getting down into the nits and gnats of timing and deadlines and things, I'm obviously a business person. I'm all about results and deadlines and, you know, getting the work done. But I think we need a really strong governor who will lead and who will put forward to the people of Minnesota the things that he or she is standing for and why they're advancing the things that they are, and do that in a really effective way so people know what that person is fighting for. And then at the end, you have to work things out. I remember I had a proposal when I was in the legislature to consolidate. We had, I think, 27 data centers and 18 chief information officers. So we had this huge information systems complex across state government. And I had this proposal to bring it all together and make it more cost effective and more effective. And interestingly, Phyllis Kahn, one of the, the matriarchs of the Democrats in the legislature at the time, right from the heart of Minneapolis, liked the ideas, and we worked together. And, you know, we got it passed with Governor Dayton signing it. I didn't get everything I wanted, I guarantee you that, right? But we were able to find a way to work it out. And I think somebody who advocates their positions on principle and does a good job communicating to the people why they're doing something, there's plenty of room to negotiate. And you never get what you want. You fight hard, but at the end of the day, you need to get a budget passed and you need to get the people's business done. And I think that's the approach that I evidenced when I was there and that I would continue with.
That is Keith Downey. We're talking with him today on Making Sausage. He's the former chair of the Minnesota State Republican Party, and he served two terms in the Minnesota legislature. This question is kind of like some of the other ones, but gives you an opportunity to kind of look at it again. But what are some of the biggest challenges, do you think, that happen in our state?
Well, right now, I mentioned one piece of evidence, but I think our economic vitality is really suffering, and it, I think, lies pretty much at the feet of the policymakers in St. Paul. You know, I had the chance right here to visit with the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce, and you see all the wonderful things that people are doing, trying to equip the workforce and the growth in the these wonderful legacy industries here in Minnesota, mining and timber and the manufacturing and other things that go on around here. And you realize that people are just out there doing the exact same thing they always have as Minnesotans, doing good things for themselves and their families and their communities, and they're running great businesses and they're working hard. And then we have all of this coming out of St. Paul that seems to just put shackles on people, whether it's regulatory environment, whether it's taxes, whether it's the estate tax, whether it's fighting the mines on their approval process to the tune of, you know, years and years and years and tens of millions of dollars. And my goodness, why is state government coming at us? It's supposed to come from us, but it's coming at us. And I think people have that sense, and it's really starting to hurt us. The I mentioned the quarterly, two quarters now. You don't want to, you know, talk about economic indicators or little one-off data points in the economy, because these, it's the trends that are really most important. But my goodness, two quarters and we have a contraction. Our economy has actually shrank. We just saw the big announcement last week of Foxconn, high-tech manufacturer of Apple products, coming to Wisconsin, right next door, to put up a huge plant, 10,000 plus jobs. And Minnesota isn't in the running. The number of Fortune 100 companies that are headquartered here continues to shrink. As I mentioned, businesses and capital and farms and really talented people are leaving our state. And, you know, people are asking the question, are our kids, are our parents going to stay here? That question I hear all the time. So I just think if I had one thing to really focus on that would really help us lift up our state, it would be that the longer pull is trying to fix these failing schools. That is a big deal. It's really a big deal down in our urban core, big cities, and we have to get at that. But the entrenched interests that are fighting the changes there are so strong, it'll take some time. But longer term, when you look over, you know, a decades long scenario, boy, thousands of kids not graduating. Literally, you have graduation rates in some of these schools that are 50%. 50% of incoming sophomores are going to graduate. 25% in some of these minorities. And I ask myself, well, where's the outrage? I'm outraged. The people in those neighborhoods are outraged. But literally, since I've been in politics for 8 years, we haven't really done anything to address it, except try and put more money in, which obviously isn't the problem because it's not fixing anything. So anyway, those are the biggies and the ones that I would focus my attention on.
How would you fix education?
Well, I think there's some models that actually are proving that they work. A lot of charter schools right down there, and they're not creaming the best students, but they are setting standards. They are setting high expectations. There is a rigorous curriculum. And so if you really believe in those children, if you really think that they have God-given creative potential, that they've got an ability to succeed, they're no different than any other kid in any other part of the state, you have to look at the models and the way that we're doing things, and simply pouring more money into these structures that don't work isn't the answer. And so we've got a lot of different schools that are having huge success rates, you know, 98, 99% graduation rates, 90 plus percent college attendance rates. So that's, I think, one answer is to look at those models and provide people an opportunity to attend schools that are of a different model. And so one of my proposals is, if you're a family with a child in a failing school, you should be allowed to send that child to a different school. And for the state to provide a scholarship, an opportunity scholarship for them to attend the school of their choice, in my mind, just absolutely makes sense. And if somebody wants to argue with me on that, I'll just look them right in the eye and say, really? You don't think that the kids that are in those schools that are failing should have a chance to go somewhere else and succeed. It's just unfathomable to me that we continue to do this year after year after year. 50% graduation rate, 25% graduation rate for the minority kids in these schools. It's atrocious. And we have to fix it. And you have to take on some really big entrenched special interests. You got to take on the teachers union. You got to take on the education bureaucracy. Those are the things that you have to do. But if it's the right thing, I'm willing to fight for it and make the progress that we need to make. And I'm sure I won't get everything, but that's what I'm going to fight for. And I'm going to tell people, listen, we have to care about these kids. We have to make sure that they have their opportunity in life. And if this is a huge barrier, and it is, then why are we just sitting here doing nothing? So that's the ideas on education. There's other things too. We really need to be more focused on vo-tech and technical training, even back down into the high schools again. You look at so many of the jobs that are coming, they don't necessarily require a 4-year liberal arts degree. And there's a lot of students for whom a 2-year technical degree, or in fact, just going into a job training or apprentice type training program would be absolutely the right fit for them. And you look at the crushing student debt loads that are on students coming out of 4-year colleges. There's just so many opportunities out there in the other skilled trades and more technical arenas. And I think we could do a way better job than we have. We've really diminished that technical training statewide.
It's been a pleasure to meet you. I will say in your favor that I think a governor has to respond to all the constituents who want to talk to him. And by being willing to visit with me today, who represents the DFL in this equation, you have shown that willingness, and I commend you for it.
Well, thank you. I just stopped by the VFW to try and have a sandwich on my way over here and met a couple folks who were Democrats, and I told them, you know, if I do get in, I will remember you, and I will fight just as hard for you as I will for anybody else. This is about really making our state a better place and making it work for everyone.
Is there anything you'd like to add we might have missed?
No. You know what? There's great coverage. I hope people have a sense that I'm really committed. This is a deep affection for our state and the people of our state and a belief in our people. I want every single Minnesotan to know that, you know what? I believe in you. I really do. I believe in you, and I trust Minnesotans for our future way more than I trust bigger government. And if you want somebody to fight for you and to advocate on these things, I'm glad to go down there and do it. I would love to be your governor.
That's Keith Downey. He has announced his bid for governor in Minnesota for 2018. You can find more information at downeyforgovernor.com. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.